Shout it loud on the moon.
Shout it, Jericho destroying on the moon. Let's rise up on our feet as we close our eyes. Let's put two hands to the Lord. Sing this song loud and clear.
See Jesus.
There are two prayers I want us to pray from our hearts. Listen to the words of this prayer very carefully. And as many people as who pray them from their spirit man shall certainly be touched. Say, my spirit man arise from the place of struggle and management to the place of abundance. My spirit man arise from the place of struggle and management. Go to the place of abundance. In the name of Jesus, arise from the place of struggle and management. Yes. Jesus' name we pray. Say, I disengage any spell put upon my life. I disengage any spell that is put upon my life. In the name of Jesus, disengage spell. In the name of Jesus, Master Captain the Kayabo Shinta. In Jesus' name we pray.
One more before you sit down.
My renewal come by fire. In the name of Jesus, command your renewal to come by fire, by fire. In the name of Jesus, let my renewal come by fire. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for what you normally do at our Wednesday meetings. We thank you for what you want to do here tonight. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Lord, open our understanding tonight. Lay your hands upon us. Do great and marvelous wonders in our life. You know what says? Unto Moses, he showed his ways. Unto the Israelites, he showed his works. We don't want to just see your works. We want you to show us your way. Open our understanding, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Once again, I'd like you to listen very carefully to what we're going to say here tonight. And I want you to pay very close attention to every word that shall be spoken. Every word that shall be spoken. We're looking at what I call the sermon-proof Christians. The sermon-proof Christians. The sermon-proof Christians. In Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 33, I read from verse 30. Ezekiel 33, 30. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. This passage tells us of people who say, we are going there, we are going to hear the word of God. Wonderful intention, very good idea. But they go there, they sit down, they hear everything, they hear the testimony, they read the word of God, they hear the sermons, but they will not do them. Those are the sermon-proof Christians. And when we say sermon-proof Christians, it cuts across people. In fact, to be quite honest with you, those with the highest mark in the school of sermon-proof Christians are ministers. We will see that very soon. So they come to Ezekiel, but it's like you just like to listen to his voice. But maybe somebody that is, to them, is like somebody who can sing very well, they like the voice. So but they will not listen. So, but then when what that prophet says is coming to pass, it will have been too late at that time. Sermon-proof Christians. Look at the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32, I'm reading verse 33. Jeremiah 32, 33. And they have turned unto me the back, and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. Sermon-proof Christians. Go back to the book of Jeremiah again. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6. Look at what it says in verse 10. Jeremiah 6:10.
To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Soundproof Christians. The same Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 13. Jeremiah 7, 13. So, and now because you have done all these works, said the Lord, I spoke unto you, rising up early and speaking. But ye had not. And I called you, but ye answered not. You can see these are various lamentations from heaven. This really is a period of lamentation for any right-thinking church leader. If you are a church leader, a general overseer, a pastor, and you yourself you want to make heaven, this is a time of lamentation. I'm not talking about a man of God, a pastor who just wants people's money. No. But somebody wants to take people to heaven. This is a period of lamentation. This is when you need to know the truth. Because you will lose every battle you fight against the truth. The truth is very, very stubborn. The truth can never die. And wherever truth is present, you can be sure that God is there. But wherever there is a lot of lying, the devil will be there as the chairman. It is lying that is afraid of examination. But truth invites examination. When you see somebody is covering up something, they don't want you to come and look at it. They are covering, it's because they are covering up lies. Even those who do not read the Bible, they say the truth shall always prevail. Truth is very tough. It will not break. Slam it down. If you jump up again, you stumble up on it, you raise the head again. And immediately you find in your life that your life is working against the truth, then you have the infinite power, the whole of the powers of the universe working against you. And any time you as a believer, you are doing anything and the truth is blocking your way, be sure you are headed in the wrong direction. Crush the truth to the earth, it will rise again. Ignore the truth, it will not die. And no matter how fast your life travel, the truth will catch up one day. And truth never dies. No matter what you believe, it does not change the truth. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth you know shall make you free. That truth is becoming an expensive commodity these days in the house of God. Because truth is demanding and unyielding. Truth will break up all the lies. You can love the truth. You can embrace the truth. But it is only when you do it that the truth will set you free. There is nothing like half-truth. Half-truth is a lie. And all liars have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and water. And the truth can be sometimes very, very bitter. There are plenty of lamentable tragedies that have befallen the modern-day Christians. Many. And if you are a leader in the hands of God, you cannot help but cry when you see what is going on. Many lamentable tragedies. Let me tell you some of the tragedies of the modern-day Christian. Number one, there is this chronic lack of knowledge of Scripture. When we got born again in those days when we got born again, people take the Bible as a daily food. They eat it, they chew it, they swallow it, they use it as umbrella, they use it as shoes. But the poverty of knowledge of Scripture this day is absolutely amazing and lamentable. Many can pray until thunder comes down, but their knowledge of Bible is zero. Zero. It is a lamentable tragedy that if I jump into your midst now and I talk to somebody there, I say, tell me the name of the 12 apostles. The person will find it easier to tell me the name of those who are playing for green eagles. It shows the tragic lack of knowledge of Scripture. When a preacher says, let us go to so-and-so book in the Bible, it should not take any believer 50 seconds to find where he's going. When you take your Bible and open it like this, you should be able to know straight whether you are going to the left to look for it or to the right to look for it. But in a situation where people even come to church without the Bible, some you say, Bible, they are looking at the index. I've been to a church before, when I said, let us open to 2 Kings, I found that nobody was opening the Bible. Then the head of the church tapped me and said, what page, what page? Lack of knowledge of Scripture. 2. Lamentation number 2 is the multiplication of cleverly concealed sin. It's multiplied. People just conceal their sins, covering it, covering it. So when we pray in Jesus' prayer, oh Lord, cover my secret. Cleverly concealed sin is multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. 3. There is complete lack of interest in evangelism. It's a tragedy of the modern day Christian. My brother, see that what you're looking at me there. When last did you witness to somebody about Jesus? How many converts have you won to the Lord within 1 year? Answer, my sister. Those people that you have seen all over the place, how many people have you given tracts and said, Jesus loves you, you must surrender your life to Jesus? It's a tragedy, this complete, complete lack of interest in evangelism. Here in this church, here we have an evangelism team. But really, the Bible standard is that everybody in the church should be an evangelist. We may not all be preachers, but all of us can be a witness. But we're not interested in witnessing to others. It's a tragedy. The fourth lamentable tragedy of the modern day Christian is the weak altar of prayer. Very weak prayer altars in many places. And the altars of so many are so weak to face the problem of life backing them. There are even some pastors who don't pray for more than 10 minutes in a day. The fifth lamentable tragedy is dead quiet time. Many don't do any quiet time, jump up and rush away. The sixth lamentable tragedy is poor reading culture. The present day believers don't read anymore. They have this very poor reading culture. And if you go to an average bookshop, it's easy for you to know what books will sell, which one will not sell. 7. Lamentable tragedy. Inordinate love for position. Position seeking people. Instead of people to allow position to seek them, they go out seeking for positions. 8. Lamentable tragedy. Is this unruly attention to money? This is why you find a lot of ministers doing commercial night videos to gather money from people. 9. Is loving entertainment. Love entertainment. Many of the modern day Christians are just looking for where to be entertained. And they finish the entertainment, but you don't see what has happened to their spiritual life. 10th lamentable tragedy is spiritual shallowness. So many plenty of shallow, shallow Christians blown about by every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. Blowing them here and there. 11. There is revelation poverty. Only few people see good revelation again. Only people have sharp spiritual sight. Only few people have the kind of dreams we call night vision. Only few people really can sit down and get a revelation from God about what they are doing and what they are to do. 12. There is this lack of aggressive attention to the things of heaven. The attention of most present-day believers is not set on things above. They are only on things below. And they have a complete lack of understanding of scripture. They don't understand what Paul is saying when he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. That's why you see some people singing Yumba Yumba, Kaye Koyemi, Yumba Yumba, Kaye Dara Fumi. That's why you see some people singing that kind of song, not knowing. But after the Yumba Yumba, you could end up in hellfire. The 13th lamentable tragedy, which is by far the most tragic, is the epidemic level of soundproof Christians. Some completely soundproof. If they tell you that a building is soundproof, it means that no matter what noise you make in that building, nobody will hear us. If you say somebody is wearing a bulletproof shirt, it means no matter how you shoot at that person, if you don't penetrate, when they say something is waterproof, no matter how long the thing is in water, the water will not gain entrance. There are many kinds of soundproof Christians these days in the house of God. And when a person becomes soundproof, then you become prophecy proof too. Then you become a revelation proof. Then the tragic words of Proverbs will happen to the person's heart. Say, he that is oven reproved and hardeneth his heart shall be destroyed suddenly. That's what the Bible says. Sudden destruction. Just like that. Wiped off. Who are these sermon-proof Christians? A friend of my dad was in church one evening, and the message that day was no holiness, no evil. Everything the preacher was saying was annoying my father's friend. Then, after the sermon, there was a prophecy. And I said, somebody here, tonight is your last chance so that you will not spend many, many years in prison yard. I have come. He was a policeman. He bloody fool, everything they said. He got to work next day. Somebody was already planning to come and give him a big bribe. He didn't know that the same person had gone to report to his boss in the police headquarters. So they packed plenty of marked money and they gave it to him. He took it. He had not moved away from the place before they arrested him. By the next day, he had arrived in court. And by the third day, he was ready in Kirikiri. So one Sunday, he heard the word of God. He did not listen. By the next Sunday, he was in the prison. He was there for 4 years. He had two wives. All his two wives ran away. Terrible things happened in his life. His firstborn, who was a graduate, died suddenly in a tragic motor accident. He came out of prison. He didn't find the boy alive again. After getting a very top degree in the university, when eventually this man was released from prison, he decided he was going to become a pastor. If you ask me to preach a sermon on disobedience now, he doesn't need to carry any book. The enemy has made him a bad example. One prayer you must pray for yourself here tonight before you go is that the devil will not use you to advertise you. There are various kinds of sermon-proof Christians. Number one, those would long stay in the house of God, but no change in their lifestyle. No change. They speak in tongues. They attend the classes. They do the fasting. They pray prayer points. No change in their lifestyle. They are some proof. Two, those who are completely deaf to the word of God. Deaf, no matter what you say. They just go and do what they want to do. Three, this group, nothing that anybody preaches moves them. They believe they are planning evil tomorrow, and the word of God is warning them today. They will still go ahead and do the evil. There's some proof. Four, there's a group of people in the house of God too. They select what they want to hear, and they. There are some sisters here now. The day they begin to talk against jewelries, that's the day they will say, "I'm not coming here again." But when you say prosperity, freedom from enemies, death to satanic in-laws, paralysis for strange women, they are interested. That one. When you say this is your satanic dream, remove it. You are an old woman of 60, 58, 65. You are wearing tight trousers to be displayed on the streets. I want to hear that one. Select what they want to hear. Close their minds against others. And they say, well, man, nobody can push me to do what I don't want to do. One small bit, I don't need someone to confuse my life. Well, I know what I want to do, and I want to do it. And now I'm going there for prayer. It's prayer. Once the prayers are answered, what I will find is level. They select what they want to do and close their minds to us. Five. This group of people, they preach to others about what they themselves are guilty of. Terrible sermon-proof people. Plenty of these kind of people are ministers of God. Plenty of them. Six. They invite others to hear the word of God, yet they themselves are hypocrites at heart. They are sermon-proof Christians. Seven. These kind of people do not allow the word of God to transform their lives. They don't allow it to touch their lives. Eight. These kind of people, they show fake interest in hearing, but no penetration of heart. They'll be looking at you like, as if you are following what you are saying, but there is no penetration of heart. Now, there are those that satanic birds follow them about to pick up the seed of the word of God that was implanted in their lives. If they memorize a Bible passage now, after 2 hours, It has been picked up by the boss of darkness. They can't remember anything. There are a group of believers, they have converted their personal problems to Goliath because they pay unholy preoccupation to the problem. So anywhere they go is the problem they are talking about. He said, rise up and let us pray. My problem, they must mention it. Open your Bible. Oh, let them talk about my problem. There was a woman like that who was seeking for the fruit of the womb. And she was going to these crusades, and the crusade they divided them into many groups. There's a department for witches and wizards, a department for healing, a department for salvation, a department for those seeking the fruit of the womb, a department for employment, a department for baptism of the Holy Ghost. She was going to the department of those who seeking the fruit of the womb. And she was going and going and going and going. They occupied with it. So nothing seemed to be happening. Then one day she went for counseling. And the man of God said, Madam, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? I said, how much did you send it? I said, okay, you don't understand. Tomorrow, can you go to that your normal class? Go to the class of baptism of the Holy Spirit. She went. They gave them a lecture. She understood what they were saying. They started prayer. Immediately the prayer started. The power of God fell upon her. She received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and immediately after that time, she fell into labor. She rushed to the toilet. Beloved, this woman delivered a big slaying. By the next month, she became pregnant. So when you are preoccupied with trouble, you pack everything aside. There is a group of Christians. Amen. There is a group that regards the church as a social gathering. It wants to socialize and to go. 12. There is a group. They are always chatting with their friends during sermons. When the sermon is going on, they are chatting. When people are sharing testimony, instead of listening, they are chatting. The only time they stand up and begin to jump up, it's when somebody says, every power! And they jump up. But during the messages, they chat. They are not interested. Some improved Christians. 13. There are some group of Christians who they come to church, no notebook, no Bible, no writing of any form, no remembering of anything. Some proof. They say that the faintest ink is better than the best brain. That thing that you put down, you will not need it now. Many years later, it will become a reference point. 14. There is a group of people with you. They are satanic agents by decision. I mean, they are just agents of darkness. So they block themselves from hearing the word of God. 15. I saw that group. These people are suffering from over familiarity with God. They were over familiar with God and His word. And the sound of His word is becoming blunt in their lives. 16. There is a group of Christians who they hear the word of God with preconceived agenda. They are already on the agenda in their hearts. It's with that one they are listening to you. The one that doesn't fall in line with the agenda, they throw it out. 17. There's a group of Christians. Every day they are listening towards destruction in spite of clear warning from someone. Many years back, one sister came to report that one brother raped her. Came to report. Say, okay, tell us what happened. This sister was the person who approached the brother in church. They say she doesn't have transport money. And the brother too said he doesn't have change. Then she said, do you have a car? And I will say yes. He said, can you drop me? He said, by way, we are not going to the same way, we are going opposite direction. She says, okay, let's wait for World Cup to be over so that you can take me when you go to your house. She was known with her own legs and went to enter the car. Then the brother drove to his own house instead of her own house. Because the enemy has added curry and pepper and thyme on his head. The sister entered the brother's house, bachelor, and she sat down to drink Coca-Cola. Then she's now saying, I was raped. In spite of warnings, people sometimes play with danger. This evidence that the person is a man of Christ. This text group number 18. Those ones, no matter the warning they receive, in spite of sermon warnings, they will go ahead and do the evil. 19. There are those who regard the word of God as entertainment only. think people should come there and be entertained and trenching their nose. Who moves from church to church in order to avoid the truth? Anytime they go to somewhere and somebody begins to talk about polygamy, they run away. They go to another place, somebody is circling against alcohol, they run away. 21. There's a group of Christians. They are at church, but they are not in church. They just sat down. They just to mark register. But their heart is not there. 22. There's a group of Christians who they do not actually believe those who want to go their way. They don't believe it. This is maybe John Fire, they're talking about. No, like, somebody who follow this teaching, you know, like, you know, money. They don't even believe those things. 23. That is partial sermon-proof Christians. Partial. It affects them a little bit. But after some time, it just cools down their heart. And the last but not the least, they're those that their hearts have been hardened. And so the terrible prophecy that Paul made in Acts chapter 28, verse 25, has happened to them. Acts chapter 28, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well, spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto these people, and saying, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and see ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of these people is wax gross, and their hearts are dull of hearing, and their eyes are be closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. A terrible prophecy. When the person is sermon-proof, those are the kind of things that begin to happen. People become sermon-proof because they are of their own willingness to depart from sin. People become sermon-proof because they lack divine encounter. People become sermon-proof because they have enrolled in the school of backsliding. People become sermon-proof because of over familiarity with the things of God. Listen, beloved, God is indeed to be feared. It was God that invited Nadab and Abihu to the mountain, plus Aaron and plus Moses, and God prepared food for them. The Bible says they ate with God. They had an encounter with the Almighty. But two chapters after that, the same God had killed the two of them for preparing strange fire. It was God who put the pillar of fire and the cloud to guide the Israelites. He was also the one that put a wasting curse on them. And he was guiding them with the pillar and was wasting them as they went along, and they were all wasted. So it's dangerous to be over familiar with God. One person who suffered from over familiarity in the Bible was Judas. He just was too familiar, and that caused trouble. People become someone who, because of unbelief, as the Bible said, the word was preached to them, but it did not prosper in their lives because of unbelief. People become someone who, because of bondage to tradition. People become someone who, because of spiritual indiscipline. A lot of people hate spiritual discipline. They don't want to be let loose, they do whatever they want to do. People become someone who, because of negative overconfidence, you think that you have arrived, so you are above. You don't need spiritual correction. Or as Paul said, we have no confidence in the flesh. That was the man who had visited heaven several times. That was the man who wrote most of the epistles of this Bible. Overconfidence will make people sermon-proof. People become sermon-proof because of worldly-mindedness. Their heart is in the world. Their mind is not with Jesus. People become sermon-proof when they have ungodly friends who turn their hearts away from believing God. People become sermon-proof because of hatred of correction and being unteachable. I don't want anybody to tell you anything. The result is devastating. Many years back, 1985, I ministered in a place. I still remember the topic of that sermon. The topic of the sermon that day was, when the word of God does not change a man. When the word of God does not change a man. When the word of God does not change you, there are only two other instruments. Only two left. Number one is abandonment by God. This he allows you to go. So as for such as come and sign, after that crooked way, but the Lord will allow them to go to the workers of iniquity. Two men in the Bible went away from the presence of the Lord. Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. God did not run after him. Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord. God pursued him. Those are the two patterns. And when God caught up and introduced the second instrument, his rod of correction, his rod of punishment, his rod of affliction, his rod of oppression. God has many rods in his hand. If God just removes his protection from somebody for 5 minutes, all the witchcraft powers that want to eat the person up before they have no time, they will rush in and do it terribly with that person within those 5 minutes. God sometimes uses the wicked as his rod, because nothing happens without his permission. So when the word of God does not change you, only two pathways left, beloved. Either God has abandoned you and allowed you to go and has confirmed that you are already part of those going to roast in hellfire, or in our fingers is rod. And the rod of God is not something that is light. Anytime you begin to use it, that's a terrible thing. The Bible says it is a horrible thing to fall. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty. So, examine your life. The loss you have been bearing here, new family, it's a serious matter. I was in the plane one day. Somebody was sitting at my phone. You didn't know that I was one at the back. And this woman who used to serve people facing the plane came. So, excuse me, sir, do you want champagne or do you want orange juice? You want champagne or you want orange juice? I said, champagne. They gave him one. So let's have another one, please. He took to his throat. He took him down to his guard that was one at the back. He now started to shake. Because there he was, a so-called man of God, who was drinking champagne. When the word of God does not change you, the Lord will come. But when his word comes, it can be terrible. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you think Jonah enjoyed himself? When the Lord began with Jonah, do you think Jonah loved it? Didn't like it, it was not funny at all. He threw Jonah into the sea. And God will have commanded that the whole of that boat to perish just because of one sinner in their midst. But they have to throw Jonah into the sea. And the Lord prepared the fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah started 3 days dry fast in the belly of the fish. Why is it the prophet? And eyes closed. In case you are here tonight and you are not even born again, you have not just surrendered your life to Jesus, whatever you are, while all eyes are closed, just raise up your right hand. God bless you. Just have you raised up your right hand. Just say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you say that short prayer with me, immediately we close. Let's find a way to the altar here so that we can pray more with you. Tonight, where you are, I want you to bow down your heads and talk to the Lord yourself. Have I been picking and choosing from the word of God? Is there anything God is telling me that I'm trying to polish? As God is speaking to my heart and I've been internally rebelling, am I a someone-proof Christian? Are there things that I'm doing and that I ought not to be doing? Are there things that I'm supposed to do that I did not do? By the way, is God even happy with me? Sort yourself out with the Lord now. And talk to the Lord yourself. And Father, I am before you. Search my heart. Search my heart. Forgive me of any area, in any way, in which I've not given sufficient respect to your word. Forgive me in any way, in any manner, in which I've taken your word very lightly. Very lightly. Talk to the Lord yourself now. As many people as are having a time here tonight, you will be able to locate themselves and talk to God from their hearts. But those whose hearts are hardened, they will still be struggling. So count yourself before the Lord now. know for sure, brother, at the end we will soon be here, and God will ring the final bell that will signal the end of this age. It will be a tragedy if the words of God you have been hearing will stand against you in the day of judgment. It will be a tragedy. Amen. Last time I saw one, you have just carried out this secret abortion. But the power of God has located you where you are tonight. And unless you come, fall on the altar before God, you have a short time to move. Unless you fall on the altar before God tonight, you have a very short time to move. And if you remain there and you don't quickly fall out on the altar before God, at least we have given you the opportunity to change. You have that opportunity tonight. Everybody will shout this loud and clear. Especially as many people as want God to do something special in their lives. Those who want a transcendent power to envelop their lives. Say, garments of darkness upon my spiritual body. Jesus, begin to pray now. Let the garment tear away in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, tear away. Masikaya boshente rabokora basanta. Marari bokosopande kere boshente rabokora ba. Tear away, tear away. In the name of Jesus. Yes, tear away, tear away, tear away. In the name of Jesus, the garment of darkness in my spiritual body, tear away. In Jesus' name we pray. Those of you at the front, the Lord didn't say you should make that. He said you should fall flat on your face before the altar and begin to ask Him to forgive you and deliver you tonight. Because what you have done is to commit murder. He said this again loud and clear. Every power assigned to waste my life in hellfire, clear away in the name of Jesus. Masikaya boshente rabokora basanda. Masikaya boshente rabokora basanda. Masikaya boshente raba. Rimo okasente ya boshente raba. Yes. Aha, 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 aha. Something must happen in your life tonight. We are not here to play. Every power assigned to waste my life in hellfire, clear away, clear away, clear away. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. To write the last chapter of my life. Can you say this loud and clear? You are a liar! Born in the name of Jesus! Yes! Maria, that's the captain I have a shelter. Makatora bosonto kaya boshente yaba. Every dark power assigned to write the last chapter of my life, down in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say this with fire in your heart. With fire in your heart. Every enemy of spiritual revival
Jesus' name we pray. Those of you prostrating at the front, say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. I know that I have sinned before you. All I ask for tonight is mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Say that one seven times. So, my Father, as from today, I promise before you that I will not go into iniquity anymore. And therefore, Lord, any blood that is crying against me now, Lord, forgive me and clear me away from the speaking blood that wants to destroy my life. Thank you, Jesus. Ministers of God, those of you are here, just lay your hands on them briefly so that you can prove them they can go. Just lay your hands on them briefly. Pastors, please just lay your hands on them. Then you can go back to their seats. And as they are rising up, you're telling them that they must sin no more. They must sin no more. They must sin no more. Everybody will say this again loud and clear. Every pattern of darkness that has held me in bondage. Jesus, deal with the patterns of darkness. Deal with the patterns of darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we come before you tonight. You are our God. You will not let us fall. I pray tonight, O Lord, that as many people as are here today, that the transforming power of the Holy Spirit will come upon their body, will come upon their soul, will come upon their spirit. Every agenda of iniquity in any life, let your blood wipe them away. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I'd like you to raise your right hand to the heavens and say this from your heart. Say, my Father, barricade my life from deception. In the name of Jesus. You put your mouth and pray like that so that others will not deceive you and will not deceive yourself. Let my life be barricaded from every form of deception. In Jesus' name we pray. So anything in my life that is reducing my mark in heaven, clear away in the name of Jesus. Anything that is reducing my mark in heaven, clear away in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Some virgins were foolish and some were wise. And this is where our last prayer is going to be soon. And sing that song from your heart. Sing it with faith. Give me all in my life, keep me humbling. Give me all in my life, I pray. Give me all in my life, keep me humbling. Give me vanity, nothing but love. Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing.
Share the grace and fellowship.